Hello and welcome to the Clinical Oncology Podcast. This is the third and final podcast linked to the proton beam and particle therapy special issue. This month, December 2018, the first NHS patient is due to undergo proton beam therapy in Manchester. And in this episode, we first hear from Dr. Raj Jenner, who guest edited the special issue that appeared earlier this year in Clinical Oncology. We also hear from Professor Sebag Montefiore, who is a consultant clinical oncologist and professor of clinical oncology at the University of Leeds. He is also the deputy chair at CTRAD, and in this podcast, he'll be discussing how the UK radiotherapy community plans to make the most of the arrival of proton beam therapy. First, we speak with Dr. Raj Jenner, who will summarise some of the highlights from this special issue. So Raj, thanks very much for talking to us. Congratulations on editing such an excellent special issue on a really important topic, but quite a broad topic. And I wanted to start off by asking, when you go about approaching how you're going to curate a special issue in this field, how do you select what kind of articles you're going to do and what kind of authors you're going to approach?
Thanks, Ed. I mean, yeah, it was a real fun and real privilege, actually, to edit this special issue. When we were selecting articles, I think there were two things that went through my mind. A lot of what's published on proton beam therapy that we read about has a very heavy focus on the physics and the technology behind it. And I was keen, if possible, to have a slightly more clinical view, not necessarily the results of clinical treatments per se, but thinking about things like patient selection and how to monitor patients after treatment. So that was one aspect. And then right from the beginning, we saw it as an opportunity with the kickoff of proton beam therapy in the NHS to talk to partners overseas, and particularly, you know, to have the editorials from our colleagues in the US to share their insights. You know, that was something that we were very keen to have right from the beginning.
And we hear from a number of the authors within this podcast who've written in this special issue. But from your point of view, what kind of highlights are there that readers should look out for?
So I guess there's a few things that I thought were quite interesting in the papers that came out. Anthony's editorial is fantastic. I think it really sets the scene for us coming into the start of our proton beam therapy program with a lot of salutary advice from a country that where proton beam therapy has been around. It's a mature technology, and urging us to think about learning from mistakes, thinking about setting up appropriate clinical trials, and in many ways acknowledging a lot of the things that we do well in the UK, even if we're not always the first early adopters in new technologies. So I think that was very interesting. I think the article from Beata Timmerman's group was very nice, particularly as a neuro-oncologist, to see clinical data looking at, in a particular condition, in this case for craniopharyngioma, how you might look at using proton beam therapy to reduce specific side effects, neurocognitive function, very important for that group of patients. And also, I enjoyed very much Christina Haig's article, where they'd actually reached out to patients and patient groups to talk about joining in trials of proton beam therapy. What I thought was really interesting is that even with all the discussion and even all the expertise amongst, I guess, they're expert patients in that group, as well as the clinicians, hearing them say that actually if the patients went into a study and were randomised to IMRT, X-ray therapy, they would feel disappointed. And I thought that was really quite interesting as an observation and a challenge, really, for creating good randomised studies with proton beam therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. And seeing this from as a clinician then, so what were your real take-home messages?
Well, I guess number one is it's coming. We can't ignore it anymore. There's this is going to impact on the workflow of most radiation oncologists. So I think two things that I learned to think about. One was equipoise and making sure that we have that we do our best to maintain equipoise when we're talking to patients about proton beam therapy, what the pros and cons are. And also that we have to work really hard as a community to support the long-term follow-up and data collection around the patients that get treated with proton beam therapy. We're very lucky in the NHS as a healthcare federation. We've got a really good opportunity to be able to gather that data, and I think we all have to do our bit.
The article's been out for a little while now on the website and in print. So have you had any early feedback or any interactions related with it yet?
Yes. Well, one of the things I did was I joined the Radiation Nation Twitter Journal Club. And for me, that was the most real-world feedback. Because even on a Sunday afternoon in the middle of a bank holiday, when the weather was nice, there was a huge amount of discussion led based on the papers that we published. And that was really nice. A lot of favourable commentary and point of counterpoint arising from the articles that we published, particularly Antiky Zeitmann's
articles. Yeah. And what kind of things were people discussing then?
What we did was we tried to sort of focus around four key questions around the implementation of proton beam therapy. But in the end, I think people were talking about welcoming the start of a new technology and questions around how it was actually going to be implemented.
That's really good to hear. And thank you for taking the time to speak to us. And thanks again for bringing this special issue to the readers. Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure.
So, Professor Sebag Montefiore, thanks for your excellent editorial piece that appears in this issue of Clinical Oncology. You start off in that by talking about Antiky Zeitmann mentioning that the UK is in a good place to potentially investigate the clinical role of particle beam therapy in the context of cancer. Why is that?
So I think the UK is viewed internationally as a country that has been able to deliver high quality clinical trials, many of them randomized trials that have actually changed clinical practice and had a major impact. So through successful funders, commitment to these clinical trials, we have been able to recruit across the NHS substantial numbers of patients into high-quality, well-designed clinical studies. So it's something that we have delivered on extremely well with photon-related radiotherapy. And so Antiky Zeitmann's referring to our track record with photons and suggesting that we have a big opportunity to deliver that in the proton beam setting. And I absolutely agree with him. The UK has its track record. It has the experience with photons, and it's a really exciting opportunity for us to generate high quality evidence of the clinical benefit of proton beam therapy through clinical studies and trials that are designed and delivered in the UK.
How does the UK radiotherapy community plan to take on this challenge?
So that's a really good question, and I think the challenge of proton beam trials is one that we're aware of. The NHS has decided to invest in the two major centres in Manchester and UCL, opening in 2018 and 2020. So this is a challenge that we would like the radiotherapy community as a whole to work together to address. And CTRAD is the Clinical and Translational Radiotherapy Group that is funded by the National Cancer Research Institute and its funding partners. And I am the deputy chair of CTRAD, and I work closely with the current chair, Anthony Chalmers, amongst all the membership. We have four work streams that are dedicated to the whole spectrum of radiotherapy research. And I think the CTRAD community as a whole has the best opportunity to work collaboratively to design and deliver the best proton beam studies. Now, we've been working over the last decade on optimizing our design and delivery of photon clinical trials, but we recognize that there are specific challenges to providing the highest quality clinical evidence for protons. So CTRAD decided that we should form a strategy group that would oversee, encourage, and accelerate the design and delivery of the studies. So this group was formed towards the end of last year, and we are engaging with the UK community to identify the opportunities for clinical trials and assist in their development. And to that end, we will hold our first workshop, and that will be held in Leeds in May of this year, to further focus on the opportunities.
So that's really helpful to know, and clearly a lot of planning is going into this. In terms of, for instance, you mentioned this workshop. Obviously, there are so many questions. I mean, how are you going to go about trying to narrow it down into tangible questions that can be answered within the framework of the NHS setting?
You're absolutely right that we very much need to identify the most important scientific questions, and they cover a whole range of adult tumour sites that we would want to address. We see this as an important collaborative piece of work between the parent clinical study groups of the National Cancer Research Institute and the actual CT-RAD strategy group and the investigators who want to develop the questions. So in our view, the actual clinical study groups are very well placed to identify within their disease area where they think proton beam radiotherapy studies could be designed and developed. However, we recognize that the optimal way to develop those concepts will require quite a lot of support, and that's where the CT-RAD strategy group and the workshop comes in. So we're planning to have a half day prior to the plenary full day of that would follow for the workshop, and we plan the half day to actually bring together investigators who have addressed the scientific question to a level that they have some idea of the proton beam type of study that they would like to develop. But I think one of the things that we have experienced over the years in clinical trial design is that you need a good team of experts with a range of expertise to actually take the initial scientific question and then develop the idea towards a high-quality clinical trial. And so that will require engagement with certain key people. And I'm thinking here that actually the methodologists and statisticians that are in the clinical trial units around the UK have a lot of expertise in designing clinical studies and dealing with the difficulties and challenges that some of these concepts bring. So we're very keen to develop a network of clinical trial units in the UK that specifically wish to focus on developing radiotherapy-focused studies and to bring together those experts with the clinicians who've identified the scientific question.
Thank you. That sounds like a really good strategy. Earlier, you said that obviously there's a great track record in photon-based clinical trials, but using protons represents or offers different challenges. What are the different challenges when you're doing something in the proton arena compared to photon-based radiotherapy?
So I think there are a number of logistic challenges. And if we think about the way proton beam therapy will be rolled out in the UK, we have two major centres opening in Manchester and in London at UCL in 2018 and 2020. And we have a network of photon radiotherapy centres around the UK. So we need to carefully think about the logistics of referral of patients from photon centres to participate in proton beam clinical trials. That will require careful engagement with what is in CT-RAD a very strong patient and public involvement. Our PPI support is excellent in CT-RAD. And the group supporting us from PPI are very keen for us to engage with and consult with patients, not only in the proton centres, but in the surrounding radiotherapy centres, to try and ensure that we are giving patients balanced information, dispelling some of the myths that might exist about proton beam therapy, and to communicate the importance that we consider of generating high-quality clinical evidence. What we found in the past is that many patients who participate in clinical trials are doing so for altruistic reasons. They very much value the opportunity to participate in studies that would inform future patients with the same disease as to how they might best be treated. We think it's very likely that that view will be the same with respect to PBT trials, but communicating that information and communicating the equipoise or the balance of the potential benefits and downsides are a little bit more complex in the example of proton beam therapy, partly because it is, in many respects, a different way of giving radiotherapy, and there are some uncertainties that still exist, and that relates to the radiobiological effectiveness of proton beam, issues to solve around motion management, and trying to demonstrate that the theoretical gains that we can demonstrate through planning exercises that show that proton beam plans are superior, we still have a need to demonstrate that actually that translates into a clinical benefit. And the adaptive nature of radiotherapy, which is gradually changing and will change over the next decade, creates some individual challenges for proton beam that are actually even somewhat greater than for photons. So I think there is some complexity around the network of how a clinical trial would work and function, and a real need for us to engage with patients and the public. And I think the equipoise angle applies not only to the public and patients, but also applies to the clinicians in both the referring and the treating centers. I think we are very well positioned to address these challenges. The fact that we are aware that they're there and we want to directly tackle them, I think, is excellent and a good place for us to start increasing our chances of success.
And we've previously talked about the ARTNET initiative in these podcasts. And within the remit of that, they're also to be looking at proton beam radiotherapy. So how does that all fit in within with CT-RAD as well?
So the ARTNET initiative is a grant that's been awarded by Cancer Research UK, bringing together five of the radiotherapy centres in the UK. And the research was broadly aiming to accelerate and improve the delivery of SABR, MRI-guided radiotherapy, and proton beam therapy. The relevance to clinical trials in proton beam therapy is one of the work streams within ARTNET, and that's led by Emma Hall at the Institute of Cancer Research, and I'm the deputy lead and the lead clinical trial unit. And this work stream is particularly focused on the methodology aspects of designing the best clinical trials to try and generate the high-quality evidence. So we are appraising the proton beam clinical trial landscape, reviewing the endpoints that are being used in clinical trials, but particularly keen to help investigators come up with the best design and a deliverable sample size to actually provide the highest quality evidence for that scientific question. We're very much aware that there will be a challenge to the number of patients that might be able to be recruited to any individual study. We're also aware much more broadly in terms of precision medicine that actually the number of large-scale two-arm phase three classical trials that we have previously done in the last three decades are diminishing significantly. So it's much harder to actually deliver a large practice-changing phase three trial when you are studying, for example, a subset or even a subset of a subset of the disease. And there are methodological approaches that allow high-quality comparative evidence to be produced without necessarily requiring as many patients as the classic phase three trials have required. So I'm not second-guessing exactly the trials that we will end up with in the next 5 years, but I would anticipate that a number of those would actually be randomized studies in the phase two setting where we would have novel methodological approaches to produce robust evidence, but not necessarily requiring the thousands of patients that are sometimes recruited into the largest traditional two-arm phase three trials.
Next, I asked Professor Montefiore about his article in Clinical Oncology, and specifically the 8-point plan he and colleagues have set out to help researchers develop the most robust proton therapy-based trials.
So the Proton Beam Strategy Group considered the best way that we could assist and approach the challenge of designing and delivering PBT trials in the UK, and we came up with an 8-point plan, and that's summarized in a text box in the paper. So that helps future investigators as to how they can start by identifying the scientific question, and then to develop their ideas in terms of working with clinical trial units and methodology, engaging with patients, and addressing all the key areas that are necessary for the delivery of a high-quality clinical trial.
Thank you for that. And of course, it's impossible to second-guess what kind of trials we will be doing, but maybe taking off your CT rad hat and looking at it from just a consultant clinical oncologist treating cancer patients, what are the kind of trials that you really want to see and the kinds of questions being answered within the early set of clinical trials being performed in the UK?
Well, I broadly divide, I think, the opportunities into two. Firstly, we have a number of large-scale trials that are in progress and will still be running in a few years' time in terms of recruitment. One of the important questions is, can we embed a particular proton beam clinical trial question into the existing framework of the previously planned large-scale trial? So one example of that is actually in a rare cancer. It's in anal cancer, which is a particular interest of mine. And with colleagues around the UK, we are delivering 3 anal cancer trials under a platform design called PLATO, which stands for Personalizing Radiotherapy Dose in Anal Cancer. In the early stage disease, we're planning to test the role of dose de-escalation, and the locally advanced disease tests the role of dose escalation. So we are going to address and discuss how we might generate phase 2 clinical trial evidence in a rare cancer within the PLATO trial framework, which has another 4 years of recruitment to run. And there are examples of large-scale platforms either in development or recruiting where that opportunity needs to specifically be addressed. The second area of opportunity is to actually design freestanding clinical trials in a specific disease and to decide whether those trials will actually be focusing on reduced long-term toxicity associated with treatment or potentially the opportunity to improve efficacy. And one of the areas that CT-RAD has been particularly interested in over the last few years is new drug radiotherapy combinations. And we had a Nature Reviews paper a couple of years ago now, which is actually being discussed in February of this year by ASTRO, AACR, and the FDA. So there's a lot of interest in new drug radiotherapy combinations. So this would also raise the question about the opportunity to look at new drug proton beam combinations where there may be significant gain of reducing the expected toxicity from the radiotherapy in certain tumor sites. So there is a broad range of opportunities here, and I think it very much depends on the tumor site, the scientific question, and whether it's toxicity or whether it's improved efficacy. So those are just a couple of examples, but there are quite a few that we will be considering over the next few years.
Professor Sebag Montefiore, on that really promising note, thank you very much for discussing this topic with us today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. And we have a number of podcasts coming out in the coming months, including an interview with Professor Robert Hoddart and Professor Ananya Chowdhury on MRI and radiotherapy. Goodbye for now.